We continue our learning. We are in Chagig, Perikim, and Mishnah Zayin. We begin the last two Mishnayos of the Masechta. After we learned in the previous Mishnah that all of the Jewish people are considered Chaverim in a status of a Cheskas Tara, status of being pure at the time of the regel, and Amei Haaretz, therefore, and their Kalim are considered Tahor, because we assume that everybody purifies themselves before their Ola Regel. So our mission is going to deal with the Chenvani, who's a Chavir, or shopkeeper, who's a Chavir in Yishalayim, where Amei Haaretz touched his food, his items, during the Regel, and now he has leftovers after the Regel. What status should they have? So HaPoseach is Chaviso, a Chenvani who opened up his barrel to sell wine in Yishalayim for Ola Regel, and Amei Haaretz came to buy them. And obviously they were touching the barrel. Or v'hamaschil b'isa, so al gav haregel. Or you have an ofer, a baker who's a chaver, and he started selling his baked goods, dough, during the regel, and the Amei Haaretz were touching it as well. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yigmar. Rabbi Yehuda says if you have leftover wine or dough, he's able to continue selling that after the regel as b'cheskas taro, assuming they're tahor, because we assume that the touching of the Amei Haaretz during the regel does not contaminate them, because the regel of everybody's tahor. And the Gemara says in Beitza Daf Alfam and Bays, why should this be? After all, once the regel is over, so that chazaka should fall away. So the answer is because if you don't allow him to complete it, to finish it off, to eat it up or continue selling it, so then he's not going to sell it l'chatchila on the regel, knowing that there may be leftover that he won't be able to sell to everybody, because to people at least who are careful with the laws of Tumah Vatara. So he doesn't want leftovers. And if you're telling me he doesn't have the heter of selling, that this Cheskas Tari is not going to want to sell to anyone because on the regel, Amei Haaretz may be touching it. V'chachamim amrim lo yigmor, no, you're not permitted to sell the leftover wine or dough b'cheskas tara, because Amei Haaretz touched it b'shas haregel, and it's true, shas haregel, they have the status of being tor. But at that moment, but once the regel is over, we're considered, the tumah now retroactively takes effect, and we have to therefore be concerned, and we follow the opinion of the Chachamim. Misha Ava Haregel Hayu Ma'avirin Al Taharas Ha'azara. So the Mishnah says when the regel was over, they would be Ma'avir. Ma'avir, difficult word to define. Some claim it's from the word Vaya'aviru Kol Ba'machanen, Shmos Perek Lamed Vav, in Parshas Vayakel. Ma'avir Kol means to make an announcement. So it means to make a hachraza. So at the end of the regel, they would have been ma'avir, and they would announce about the Klei HaMikdash. Some say ma'avirin means they would move them, lahavir, to pass. Some say it's based on ein ma'avirin ala mitzvos, which means that we don't pass over one mitzvah when we're in the middle of one, we don't pass over to do another. So it means ma'avirin al taras ha'azara, which means that they would busy themselves and ensure that they would deal with purifying the kalim in the azara before engaging in any other task. So when the regel was over, hayu ma'avirin al taras ha'azara. So what would they do? So next Mishnah will tell us what they did with the kalim in terms of putting them in the mikvah, and what kalim did not need to go into the mikvah. But the Mishnah here concludes at least avar haregel bayom biyom shishi. Let's say though the regel ended, the Yom Tov Achron was on a Thursday. So now avar haregel would be Friday. Lo hayu ma'avirin, they would not deal with the taras ha'azara on Friday. Minei kavanah Shabbos, because chachamim were obviously busy. They're preoccupied preparing preparing their homes for Shabbos, so they would push off being mitaher the kalim until Sunday. Rabbi Yehuda Omer aflo b'chamishi. Even if the regel, let's say Yom Tov Achron was Wednesday, so now they would have Thursday and Friday. So Friday they could prepare for Shabbos, and Thursday they could deal with taras ha'azara. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the Tanakhama. Even in such a case where the regel ended on Wednesday, and now I have Thursday, even then, we say she'ein hakonim penuyim. They would push off the taras ha'azara until Sunday, because on Friday, the Gemara explains they were busy, they're preoccupied with hotzas hadeshen, all of the ashes on top of the mizbeach piled up with all of the karbonos of all of the days of the regel, and they had to clean it off. They would not clean it off on the regel. Mishnah speaks about this in the second parak of Tamid. It's considered very special to have, very praiseworthy to have all of the ashes on the Mizbech to show how many karbanos are being brought. But they now had the job afterwards. They would have to do that on Thursday, and of course Friday they would need to prepare themselves for Shabbos. But we don't follow Rabbi Yehuda, and the halacha would be, of course, that we can, if the regel would end on a Thursday, that would be a problem because we'd only have Friday. We would do Taras HaAzara on Sunday. But if the regel ends on a Wednesday, then we could do Taras HaAzara, prepare and purify the Azara and the Kalim on Thursday, and they could prepare for Shabbos on Friday. Perek Gimel, Mishnah Ches. Ketzad Ma'avirim al Taras HaAzara. So, how did they do this? How did they purify the Azara? Madbilin es hakelim shayu ba'mikdash va'omrim lohem hizaharu shelo tigu ba'shulchan usitama'uhu. So, what would they do? So, they would immerse the kelim in the mikdash to make sure they were tamei from amei aretz, may have touched them on the regel. So, but they put them in the mikvah. Now, on the regel, though, we would make an announcement to the kohanim who are amei haaretz. So we would say, Hizaharu shelo tigu, don't touch the shulchan. Now, why would I tell them not to touch the shulchan? So the shulchan, based on the fact that it says, V'nasato ala shulchan lechem panai, lechem panim lefanai tamid, you always needed lechem apanim on the shulchan, even when on Shabbos we would remove them and put on new ones. There always has to be bread on there, so there was no way to put the shulchan in the mikvah. So you couldn't remove it at all. So that's the case. We had to announce to Amei Eretz, don't touch the shulchan because we don't have a choice. We cannot put it in the mikvah. So we would be matzvil many of the kelim, but the shulchan was not one of them. Now on this list where it says hizaharu shelo tigu b'shulchan, here you have in the Mishnayos in parentheses, you have the word uva menorah. That was one of the kelim they would announce Amei Eretz not to touch. And the Gemara says that we should that menorah should not appear in the Mishnah. The question is why. So the Gemara says on the Chavavim and Beis menorah that the menorah can be moved if you need to. So if it ever became tamei, you could put it in the mikvah. Yes, the Torah uses the word tamid as well when it comes to the menorah. But there, the word tamid means continually, which means that the flame should be lit without interruption, night after night, on a regular basis, but not that it has to remain in place all the time. So, as opposed to the shulchan, which is lechem panim lefanai tamid, that means that it cannot be moved at all. So therefore, menorah should not be mentioned here. No issue with amei aretz touching the menorah, because we could then put it in the mikvah, and that would be part of the taharas ha'azara. Then the Mishnah says, kol hakelim shehayu ba'mikdash yesh lehem shneim u'shlishim. So the kelim and the mikdash, all of them had second and third replacements. For what purpose? So the Mishnah says, because the concern obviously is that we have, there's going to be, that may become tameshim nitma'u harishonim. So the Mishnah says, yo b'yushinim tachten, if one of the kalim became tamei, so you take the other one and use it as a replacement. In fact, some say that even the shulchan, although we said we don't move the shulchan, we don't immerse the shulchan, and the shulchan has to have lechem panim lefanai tamid, there was another shulchan. Because let's say it did become tamei, so that we wouldn't have a choice but to put it in the mikvah. It's true that the Mishnah says we have this Fanai Tamid, but if it came Tamid, we wouldn't have a choice. And others say, no, there was only one Shulchan, and that's it. Then the Mishnah says, Kol HaKelim Shoyu Bamikdash Tunin Tvila, Chutz Mi Mizbeach HaZahav, Mizbach HaZahav, Mizbach HaNechoshes. So all the Kelim after the Regel had to be put in the Mikvah from Tumas HaMe'aretz. And that would be true if they became Tamid any time of the year, but during the Regel we had a greater concern. Chutz, except the Mizbech HaZov. So that was the one that stood in the Heichal. That's where we replaced the Torahs daily. And the Mizbech HaNechoshes, that's the one, the copper one that stood in the Azara. So, and the Mishnah says, why did they not require Tvila? Mibnei Shehen Kakarka. Because they have the status of land, of the ground. Div Rabbi Eliezer. Of course, Karka is not Mekabel Tumana. So what is this based on? So a little bit of background to the Mizbeach HaNechoshes. The Mizbeach HaNechoshes, that's what we call it. The Torah speaks about this, obviously in Parsha Shmos, in Parshas At the end, when we speak about the building of the Mishkan, and when we enter the land of Israel, and we put up the Mishkan in Shiloh, so we no longer had Nechoshes. It wasn't a Mizbeach HaNechoshes. It was made of stone, because it says Mizbeach HaVanim Ta'aseli, that you have in the end of Parshas Yisro. And whether or not that was covered with copper is a Machlokes in Zvachim Adaf Samach Aleph. When Shlomo built the first Beis HaMikdash, he made a Mizbech HaNechoshes, as we read in Divrei HaYomim Beis Perek Dalet. But there too, you don't see in Divrei HaYomim whether or not there was wood or stone or any other material. It could be that that was completely of copper. So here we have the original Mizbech HaNechoshes, Mizbech HaChitzon, as we call it, placed in the Azorah, where all the Karbanos were offered upon. It was made of Nechoshes. Then you have entering Eretz Yisrael, it's built with stone. Then whether there's Nechoshes on that one, not clear. Then Shlomo builds the first Beis HaMikdash, it's made with copper. Then we don't know if there's stone or wood. So the first one was covered with Nechoshes and made of wood. The second was made of stone, not clear if there was Nechoshes on top. And the third was definitely Nechoshes, and we don't know if there was wood or stone. That was the one of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Mizbeach of the second Beis HaMikdash, we only have in the Mishnayos and Midos and Perek Gimel, and that was made of stone. So this is the Mizbeach HaOla. But if you think about our Mishnah speaking here, we call it the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, is it Mekabel Tumah or not? So you have to realize that when we speak about this Mishnah, it's already at this point, there was a Mizbeach of Avonim. There was no Mizbeach HaNechoshes. So why would that be necessary to teach me about it? So the Tosfos Yontif says, in the future, third Beis HaMikdash will maybe make a Mizbeach of Nechoshes. So therefore, this halacha would be relevant. That it, as the Mishnah here says, when we speak about specifically Mizbeach HaNechoshes. Now, the Mishnah says it's Kekarka. Why is it Kekarka? Because the Torah describes this at the end of Parshas Yisro as Mizbeach HaDamah Ta'aseli. So there's a comparison. We say, it's a Mizbeach HaDamah. We compare it to earth, and therefore it cannot become tummy, just like earth is not going to become tummy either. Not only that, it says in Bamidbar Perek Gimel, HaMenorah VaHamizbechos, and Mizbechos is in plural, referring to both the Mizbeach HaNechoshes and the Mizbeach HaZav. So although the Mizbeach HaZav was never called Adama, since there's a Hekesh, a comparison between the two Mizbechos, we assume that the same way the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, which is referred to as Mizbeach Adama, is not Mekabel Tumah because it's compared to Karka, so too, Mizbeach HaZav is not Mekabel Tumah either. And therefore, that's what Rabbi Eliezer says, once again, Chutz, all the Kalim that are in the Mikdash, Tu'un and Tevila, Chutz, Mizbeach HaZav, Mizbeach HaNechoshes, B'nei Shein Karka, Div Rabbi Eliezer, because they both have the status of Karka, Mizbeach HaNechoshes, and we learn Mizbeach HaZav from Mizbeach HaNechoshes based on the Hekesh, where it says HaMenorah VaHamizbechos, Mizbechos in plural. V'chachamim Omrim, Mipnei Shehein Mitzupin, because they are plated, because they are covered. What does this mean? So the different explanations, whether Chachamim are arguing with Rabbi Eliezer or they are agreeing with Rabbi Eliezer, but giving another reason. So one explanation is it's a machlokas. And they were saying like this. You, Rabbi Eliezer, says the Mizbechos do not need tevila. You don't have to immerse them because they're not mekabel tumah, because they're like karka. We disagree. They need tevila mipnei shehein mitzupin, because they're plated in metals. Gold or copper are metals, and they are mekabel tumah. So it's true. So when it comes to a kli eitz ha'asui l'nachas, if you have a wooden vessel that is supposed to stay put where it is, we usually assume it holds 40 saw. And that's a halacha, that's something very, very large. It's not mekabel tumah, even though it has a base kibul. It's wood and there's a place to put something inside. If it's very large and it's there to stay in place, it's usually not mekabel tumah. That's based on the pasuk Ma'ikra Yudal. If it says, v'chol asher yupol mehem bimosam yitma, and this is referring to the tumah of sheretz, of a dead sheretz, and there it has the list of all the types of kelim that are mekabel tumah. Mikokli eitz, obeged, or osuk. So there we compare all, when it comes to kalim that are mekabel tumah, we compare them to a sackcloth made out of goat's hair. So just like a sock is metaltel, malei verekam, it's something that we move around, both whether, even when we can move it, whether it's empty or even when it's full with something. That's what you use a sack for. You put something in it and you carry it around. Afko metaltel, malei verekam. So too, kalim and only mekabel tumah, even if they're made from wood, which is normally mekabel tumah, if you make it into a kli, should it be mekabel tumah, but only if it's something that you move around, both when it's empty and when it's full. But but a kli eitz ha'asur l'nachas, you have a wooden kli, very large bookshelf, let's say. So that's something that you normally would not move around. So that would not be mekabel tumah, even though there's an inside to it. So that's all true in general. But here, and that should be true, by the way, if I have a mizbeach, and the mizbeach, let's say it's made out of wood. So if a mizbeach on a chosh is made out of wood and just plated in copper, as the first mizbeach was, so it shouldn't be mekabel tumah. Say the chacham, but since it's plated in metal, this one in a chosh, and the mizbeach hazahav with gold, so they are mekabel tumah. The mekabel tumah like klei mateches, and therefore they need tevila after the regel. That's one explanation of the chacham arguing with Rabbi Eliezer. And others say, no, they're not arguing. Be able to answer, but they're giving another reason. You know why they don't need tevila? Mipnei shehem mitzupin. The fact that they're plated in gold or copper in metals, that's the reason why they don't need tevila. Why? Because I don't need the reason. Oh, because they're like karka, like land. The Torah calls it mizbach adama, and adama is not mekabel tumah. No, there's a very simple reason why they're not mekabel tumah. Because they are wood. Kliates ha'asul anachas. They're very large wood kalim that are resting, and they don't move. We don't move them generally from one place to the other. That's not the goal. Certainly, when they build a mishkan or beis hamikdash, they're supposed to stay in place for a significant period of time. You'll say, aren't they plated with metal, and that should cause them to be mekabel tumah? Just the opposite. The tzipui, the plating, is batel to the kli itself. So since the kli is a wood kli that's asul nachas, that's there to be stationary, we can ignore the fact that they're covered with metal, and we're not worried about it. Although metal is mekabel tumah even when it's flat, we can ignore that because they're batel. The exact opposite of the first explanation. But just one last point. We said here that we tell the Amei Aretz, oh, be careful, don't touch the Shulchan, because l'melachem l'panim l'fanai tamid. According to Rashi, that meant, we said, and we explained the Mishnah this way, we're speaking to the Kohanim who are Amei Aretz, not to the Amei Aretz in general, but the Kohanim who are Amei Aretz. Because the Shulchan stood in the Heichal, and Yisraelim can't enter there anyway. So the only people worried about touching it are Kohanim or Amei Aretz. But you look at the Rama Mehilchos, Mitami Mishkav Umoshav, Yud Aleph. There he says, Ve'omrim lohem liYisrael Amei Aretz, B'shar shemarim esal Shulchan lo'olei regolim. When we show the Shulchan to the Olei regolim, he's Haru shalotigu b'Shulchan. You Yisraelim Aretz, make sure you don't touch the Shulchan. And the reason for this is, because according to the Rama, says the Mishnah Lamelech, they must have taken the Shulchan out from the Heichal to show the Olei Regolim, the miracle of the Lechem Apanim, that they stay fresh all week. So therefore we had a concern of, and it would not stay always in the Heichal. It was taken out on the regal to show this miracle, and therefore we had a concern that even Yisraelim Amei Aretz, because Yisraelim Amei Aretz would be outside. They couldn't enter inside, but if you brought the Shulchan outside, then we'd have a concern there. Slik Masechas Chagiga Hachan Alach Seder Moed.